Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
All righty, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show, hour number 3 of our radio program. We'll get to what LeBron James had to say about Kyrie Irving in just a second. You'll hear from Kyrie as well. I got to take care of some business here, though, first, for about 2 or 3 minutes. And no, I'm not going to the bathroom. We're talking about show business.
Phew.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say Samter and Carlos take care of the show for the next 2 to 3 minutes. But a few things. Number one, Carlos and I during the break came up with this bet. So I'm actually being a nice person here because Carlos's line was way too low. He said 5 or 5.5 games, and he would take the under that Saquon plays for the Eagles this year. I said over. I'll hammer that. So Carlos has upped that number. I said, rethink it. Give me a fair number. And he said 7.5. Is that correct?
7.5.
So here's the bet. If Saquon plays under 7.5 games this year for the Eagles, I will take Carlos Ortiz to a fine, fine, fine dining experience restaurant. You will go, as Manny Rodriguez would say, zillionaire Zach dining, which I'm not a zillionaire, but anytime I post photos of good food or good photos, or good seats at a sports game, Manny always jumps into my DMs. He goes, must be nice to be zillionaire, Zach. So I will take you to a very, very, very fine restaurant. However, if Saquon, not if, when he plays 8 games for the Philadelphia Eagles, Carlos will take me to an authentic Puerto Rican restaurant, which I can't wait for that experience. Now, in the YouTube chat, we got off on a little bit of a tangent when it comes to food. Philly fan in the YouTube chat says he now lives in Louisiana. And I said, well, are you from Philadelphia? He goes, yeah, just right around there. So I recommended a new cheesesteak spot to him. It's in South Jersey. I think he's from originally South Jersey, excuse me. And it's this place called Lilo's Tomato Pie, which I had it in South Jersey about 4 or 5 months ago to die for. Portnoy went there, Dave Portnoy, Barstool. He went there to do a pizza review, and they made him try the cheesesteak. He's like, that's a sensational cheesesteak. My favorite cheesesteak spot, though, ever is Mama's in Bala Cynwyd. Now, we did have a gentleman, Media Studios, say, Zach, come to Omaha and do live shows for the College World Series. I would love to go to Omaha, Nebraska for the College World Series. So if someone wants to send this out there, be my guest. That would be fun. That's a sporting event I have never even thought about going to, but I would love to go to the College World Series. And also, I did a quick little search during the break. Omaha to Lincoln, because I've been to Lincoln, Nebraska before, is about an hour and 19-minute drive. If I did go to Lincoln, Nebraska from Omaha, I'd have to check out Casa Bovina. Casa Bovina is one of the greatest steak meals I've ever had. And I ran into Todd Gurley when I was there because I guess the strength and conditioning coach for Nebraska was a former teammate of Todd Gurley's at Georgia. Todd Gurley was at the restaurant. I did not think I was going to see Todd Gurley in Lincoln, Nebraska at the same steakhouse I was at. Very nice guy. And that's like another guy, right? We were talking earlier, and Todd Gurley wasn't a bust. Todd Gurley had a sensational three, four years, and then got the contract, never even saw the contract with the Rams because his legs just didn't hold up and even made it to a Super Bowl. But Todd Gurley's one of those guys where you're like, man, where the heck is that guy? And we talked about it earlier, you know, Greg Oden, who was a bust, but you're like, oh, where the heck is that guy? We played you the Jabari Parker audio where he's playing basketball in Barcelona. It's amazing how many guys in sports that either get drafted high up and end up being bust and you wonder where the heck they are, or they give you like little moments and then you wonder what the heck are they doing now. Like Gurley was at an elite level. And unfortunately, his leg just gave out. You know, you think, remember Jeremy Lin. That was like a 2-3 week stretch of just absolute craziness. Didn't Jeremy Lin win an NBA championship? I want to say he was on the Raptors when they won that championship, because I remember people were joking, oh, Jeremy Lin ended up getting a championship before Carmelo Anthony, because Carmelo was a little jealous of some of the fame and the attention that Jeremy Lin was getting. Can you look that up real quickly, Carlos, and just confirm if Jeremy Lin won a championship? I want to say he was on that Raptors team that ended up winning a championship. But there's guys that you see or gals that you see in sports. Oh, he did. So he did win a championship.
Confirmed. That was the Raptors over the Warriors.
So 2019, yeah. Because there's times in sports where you see guys and gals that either just are highly touted and they don't live up to the hype, or you think they're going to be great. They look like they're going to be great. They have a few great moments, and then the downfall is just really, really quick. All righty. For Kyrie Irving, Kyrie Irving at one point was one of the more exciting players in the NBA. He was the perfect Robin to the Batman, which Batman was LeBron James and Kyrie was the Robin. We all remember the sensational performance that Kyrie Irving had in that 3-1 epic comeback and what he did in game 6 and then the big 3-point shot in game 7. But ego's a real thing in sports. And desires and wants and needs are a big thing, not only in sports, but in life. And the ego of Kyrie Irving was telling him two things. He was afraid LeBron was going to leave again, and he didn't want to be stuck in Cleveland. He also had the curiosity, let's say, of wanting to be the number one guy on the team and getting out of the shadow of LeBron James. So Kyrie ends up getting dealt to the Boston Celtics. And when Kyrie's in Boston, he had that moment that I've now seen on TV this week already. And it's only been 2 days this week, Monday and Tuesday, and the NBA Finals don't start until Thursday. But I must have seen the moment of Kyrie saying to the Boston faithful, the Celtics fans, I'll be back as long as you guys want me here. And I've seen that played, I kid you not, at least 100 times this week. Because they've had so much B-roll for this, and they've had to just wait and wait and wait for these NBA Finals. And we know Kyrie was a malcontent at the end in Boston. Then gets what he wants. Remember, in free agency, Boston he was traded to, in free agency, signs with Brooklyn, and it still wasn't good enough. And Kyrie went from that player who was not only just good, he was great, he was dominant, he was sensational, to then the last 4 or 5 years being one of those guys that turns into what could have been. Like, he could have been so much better if he would just lock in. And obviously, he posted some disgusting things that were anti-Semitic, and he was being a problem in the locker room. It was just so, so, so stupid what Kyrie Irving was doing, and hurtful and disgusting. And I have a Kyrie Irving shirt. I have a Dr. Drew shirt, and I don't even know where the heck that is anymore because I just got so disgusted with how Kyrie was acting. So I will say that Jason Kidd saved Kyrie Irving's career. Because remember where we were last year with the Mavericks. The Mavericks intentionally missed the playoffs, and no one thought this Kyrie experiment was going to work. No one. And you had no reason to. But Kidd was able to get Kyrie to lock in, and I think it's because the respect Kyrie has for Jason Kidd, because Kyrie grew up as a Nets fan, and he grew up as a massive Jason Kidd fan. And think about how cool that is, that you get to play in the same organization, and you get to get coached by your idol. Like, Carlos, let me ask you a question, and I won't hold this against you. Who is your radio idol, just wondering? Like, who, just give me a name, whoever it is, someone that you grew up listening to, or someone that you worked with, and someone that you're like, okay, I idolize that person.
Damon Amendola.
Okay, did you grow up listening to DA?
I did not.
Okay. Well, can you do me a favor? Can you do it with, do someone, because I think it makes the point better, that you grew up listening to?
Michael Kay.
Okay, Michael Kay. Imagine if Michael Kay hired you and you were like his co-host or you were his producer. Like, that's basically what the Mavericks did. Kyrie, who already accomplished so much, he is someone that's a great player, but he's becoming a great pain in the ass and a great jackass, let's just be real. And he gets to Dallas, and I think, even though it got off to a slow start, eventually that light bulb went off where it's like, wow, I'm getting coached by my idol. Like someone that I grew up watching. And just the human element of it, even with how just dumb Kyrie was the last 4 or 5 years, I think takes over and gets you to lock in because you don't want to naturally disappoint that person. So I think that's a big part of this. Now, I don't know how long it's going to last because you could also make the case Kyrie's under contract for one more year next year and then the player option. Is he playing nice for kid? Is he playing nice because he wants to get back in the good grace of the basketball community? Yeah, probably. But how much of this is financially motivated where you're trying to cash in on one more just ridiculous max contract? Because if Kyrie wins a championship this year and then is just somewhat of a good soldier next year, think about the payday that's going to be coming for Kyrie Irving. But what really started all this was Kyrie leaving LeBron. Because I think LeBron, with his influence in the league, he kept Kyrie in check a little bit. But then Kyrie, who has his own mind, wanted to see what life was like as a star on his own. And it didn't work in Boston, his fault. Didn't work in Brooklyn, his fault. And then went back to the Batman Robin approach, where he's a great Robin. And Batman is now Luka Doncic. And this year, the second half of the season, it's been a phenomenal pairing. So, the original Batman for Kyrie is LeBron James. He was on his Mind the Game podcast with the... Is this the one? Is this J.J. Redick's podcast, or is this the one that they do together, Samter?
The one they do together.
Okay. So, this is J.J. Redick and LeBron James on their podcast that they share together. Here's LeBron stating his love for Kyrie.
So f***ing happy and so proud and to watch him and continue his growth or whatever the case may be. And at the same time, I'm so f***ing mad. At the same time that I am not his running mate anymore. So I'm like, I just remember those times. I have so many words to praise Kyrie that I end up with absolutely none. Because he's the most gifted player the NBA has ever seen. He has the best gifts I've ever seen of any NBA player.
Are you serious? Like, don't get me wrong. Kyrie is phenomenal. Kyrie is so skilled. But the most skilled player ever? I can't say that. But the thing is with LeBron, I would love to hear LeBron one time just say something negative about someone. I really would. Now, I'm not expecting to say it about Kyrie there, nor should he, because of what their relationship was. But when I hear that, and Samter and Carlos, you just tell me if maybe I'm thinking too much about this, because sometimes I'll admit it, we think too much when we hear clips like that. Like, I think most of that is natural appreciation and love for Kyrie. But is there a little shot somewhere in there in the Lakers organization? Because LeBron, who claims he's not a part of the coaching search, right, isn't a general manager. This is Pelinka and Jeannie Buss's show. We know LeBron wanted a reunion with Kyrie. That was out there. And Kyrie wanted the reunion with LeBron. So I'll just ask you guys both this, and you tell me your thoughts. Maybe I'm thinking too much of this. Is this LeBron praising Kyrie, but then also telling the Lakers, see, I told you so, but you could still hide behind the praising of Kyrie, where if someone called you out on it, he could kind of wiggle his way out of that? Samter and Carlos, that question.
I think everything that LeBron does has meaning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Just praising Kyrie is not just praising Kyrie. He has a purpose for every single word that comes out of his mouth during interviews, post-game pressers, social media. He knows what he's doing. Say what you will about LeBron, whether you like him or you hate him, he is a master at manipulating the media because we fall for it every damn time. The guy is smarter than us. He manipulates us. He is definitely sending a message, whether it's to the Lakers or to everyone else. He's sending some sort of a message out there, and the Lakers better listen up, because at the end of the day, they need to add something to that team.
Here's the thing, though. I don't buy that LeBron, he can take all the shots he wants. I don't think he's leaving the Lakers at all. I don't think he ever gets to a point where he leaves the Lakers. This is his last destination.
Probably right, but he's sending a message being like, hey.
They're like empty threats, kind of. They're like empty messages.
Maybe, but listen, he's left three teams already.
But where is he going to go? The one destination I think that could go Sixers. Get him and would be smart for him is the Sixers.
Yeah.
I don't see him going to Philadelphia.
I mean, it could be the Sixers. It could be whoever drafts Bronny, which we've seen kind of cool out a little bit.
No offense, Oklahoma City. You're telling me the Oklahoma City Thunder draft Bronny. LeBron's going to end his career in Oklahoma City. You have a great young basketball team. You go win a championship there. LeBron's not ending his career in Oklahoma City.
Well, I mean, part of the reason why he went to L.A. was, A, for his kids, but also, B, for his
money,
post-career.
Movies.
Yeah, but like, he's...
Not Cleveland.
He's started all that. He's got his production company going. He did Space Jam 2, which I still haven't seen and probably never will, because I heard it was terrible.
Oh, did you see, what was the Seinfeld movie that we had to promote?
Unfrosted? The Pop-Tart movie.
Did you see that?
Frosted. No, but it looks hilarious.
It's called Frosted, not Unfrosted?
Yeah, I think it's Frosted.
Have you seen Frosted?
I haven't, but it's on my list.
Have you seen
the
Frosted?
The move made it too hard.
Okay. Santer claimed, when he saw the trailer, funniest thing you'll ever see. But you never saw it.
No. The move was a little bit crazy. Like, the past 2 weeks, between the car, the move, all the other stuff.
You had things going on. I haven't heard about them.
We honestly haven't had a chance to sit down and watch TV for more than, 20 minutes. Every night, we usually watch, one show for an hour. We've maybe gotten through 20 minutes of a show in 5 days.
Now, I will say this. I have not watched it yet, so I'm not going to criticize it. But I heard it was very underwhelming.
That's
very underwhelming.
That's disappointing.
Just from what I heard.
43% on Rotten Tomatoes, 5.5 on IMDb for Unfrosted. I stand corrected. Unfrosted.
Oh, it is Unfrosted.
Yeah, my bad.
I mean, the trailer looked hilarious. It's Seinfeld as the lead character and an incredible cast, his directorial debut. It seemed like it had all the tools to be a hit.
Brian in the YouTube chat said Maggie Gray said it was straight up garbage.
Ugh, that makes me so sad. It looked so funny.
She also didn't get into the Captain America movies until way late. I put that opinion with a grain of salt there.
Whoa. Is that a shot?
I don't think it's a
Carlos
shot.
Carlos doesn't
more of a fact.
Trust Maggie's movie and show opinions?
She didn't like Captain America Civil War. I can't trust that.
Okay. All right, what are your thoughts on the whole LeBron thing, by the way?
No, of course, he's being absolutely genuine. There's no pale shot. There's no shots here. No, he loves Kyrie.
I could sense the sarcasm.
Yeah, and for everybody in the stream, they can see my air quotes.
Anyway, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Will we ever see a LeBron-Kyrie reunion? I don't think so, because LeBron, I think at most, is 2 more years. So maybe they want to get the band together for one last year, last go around it. But he has 1 more year under the contract, and then he has a player option.
So here's the other question. Is Kyrie LeBron's best teammate ever?
Is Kyrie
LeBron's best ever teammate? You got Wade,
you mean,
Bosch,
oh,
Anthony
so
Davis.
Who's LeBron's best teammate ever?
I mean,
Anthony. You got Anthony Davis.
Yep.
You have
Dwayne Wade. Chris Bosch.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Allen.
Yeah, Kyrie is.
Kevin Love.
Kyrie is.
So all time, if you were ranking your all-time players, you're ranking Kyrie above Dwayne Wade.
Oh, well, here's the thing. It's when they played together.
Yeah.
Like, Wade, the thing with, I thought the, all time, Dwayne Wade is better than Kyrie Irving. Let me be abundantly clear about that. But Dwayne Wade, when he played with LeBron, I thought that was going to be at least a 6 or 7 year run. But after 4 years, LeBron could talk about him and Pat Riley feuding and that being a big reason why he left. But it was because Chris Bosh, unfortunately, with the health. And then Dwayne Wade was even breaking down, too. So in terms of, I think most people would say it's Wade. But I kind of think it is. Wade's a better player than Kyrie. But I do think Kyrie is, when they played together and what they brought to the team was his best teammate, I would say. So, do you disagree with that, or do you go with Wade, since he asked the question?
See, here's the thing. It's hard because Kyrie is so polarizing. When Kyrie is locked in and the player that he is now and the player he was with the Cavs, I put him above Dwayne Wade. But there's been so many years where he was a problem, where he was focused off the court, where he wasn't paying attention on the court, where he was
making his team... But we're just talking about his time with LeBron for this question.
Yeah, I know. I guess I'm just saying, because, I mean, the years that he spent with LeBron versus the years... Because they were there together for, what, 3 years, 4 years? And I guess Wade, he was there for 4 years also.
Mm-hmm, four. Not J.R. Smith?
Yeah. Anderson Varejao? Are we looking at Booby Gibson, maybe?
So
no, I think
Daniel
I think
Booby
I would
Gibson,
go,
by the way, I loved.
Yeah, I know. I think I would go Kyrie's peak Della is better Vadova? Than Dwayne Wade's peak with LeBron. But I also think that Dwayne Wade's career over the extent of it was better than Kyrie's. So it's a tough question to answer. But I guess I would go with Dwayne Wade.
So this article's from 2019. ESPN ranking the best teammates LeBron has ever had. Number 14, Carlos Boozer. Number 13, Mario Chalmers. Number 12, Anderson Varejao. Great hair. 11, J.R. Smith. 10, Tristan Thompson. 9, Shane Battier. 8, Mo Williams. 7, Ray Allen. 6, Ilgauskas. Oh, I love Big Z. 5, Kevin Love. 4, Kyrie Irving. 3, Chris Bosh. 2, Anthony Davis. And 1, Dwayne Wade. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Is C.J. Stroud correct? If Matthew Stafford played in Green Bay, would he have won more than one Super Bowl ring? And also, I will play you a little Kyrie when we come on back about his bad behavior last time he played in Boston.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
All right, it is the Infinity Sports Network, and it is the Zach Gelb Show. We were just talking about the Lakers. We were just talking about LeBron James. We have somewhat of breaking news.
We have breaking news on the Zach Gelb Show.
And maybe the worst-kept secret ever. Nothing's official, but the Los Angeles Lakers, according to Shams Charania, are zeroing in J.J. Redick as the front runner for the franchise's next head coach. League and industry sources do tell Shams Charania. All right, we can fade out the music. Here's my reaction. No crap. This is the worst kept secret ever. Ever. Everyone knew LeBron was going to be handpicking this next head coach. And it was going to be J.J. Redick. And I know people say, like Windhorse, oh, well, LeBron doesn't really have a say in this search. Baloney. He may not directly tell them, but everyone with a brain knows that LeBron wants J.J. Redick. Everyone knows that. So when there's a chance LeBron is going to opt out and he's going to play it up like there's a chance he's going to leave the Lakers, whether he's using right Bronny or whether he is just trying to get things that he wants, the Lakers are obviously going to find a way to get the guy that LeBron wants. Now, nothing's official yet, and LeBron a few years ago wanted Ty Lue, and the Lakers only give him a 3-year deal, and he wanted a 4-year deal, which they should have just given him a 4-year deal, and Ty Lue would still be the damn coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. But no one should be surprised by this. The Lakers' entire offseason is just making sure LeBron stays. But it's kind of really, like, even if they didn't hire J.J. Redick, is LeBron really going to leave because of that? I don't think so. Like, who else is up for this job? James Borrego? I mean, I like him. You know, I think he should be a head coach again. But he wasn't going to. Sam Cassell's deserving. So maybe that would have been a move that they could have made. But the moment that podcast happened, I remember we did a segment. And the segment was, do you think now J.J. is going to be the next coach of the Lakers? And I said, yeah, I do. But the fact that this is probably actually going to happen is just wild. And I hope I'm mad Stu's not here today. Because Stu's a Lakers fan. I do own a pair of Lakers shorts, authentic shorts from the team store. Because when I was out at the Super Bowl one year, I didn't pack enough shorts. So I had to go buy a pair of shorts. And I said, you know what? I'll go get those yellow, authentic Lakers shorts. I'll be, if this ends up going down, they cross the T's and dot the I's, I will be passionately rooting against the Lakers this year. Because J.J. Redick comes off as how his last name does sound and spell. Okay? That's how he comes off as. You guys don't understand what I'm saying there, right? J.J. Redick.
I got it.
Okay. Dun-dun-dun. You guys looked at me like,
No, I wasn't picking it up, but now I get it.
How do you spell that last name there, Santer? don't actually spell it. The guy's a jerk. J.J. Redick is a jerk. I listened to that interview that he did in Boston. Like, I know you're working with DraftKings. You don't need the money to go do a paid spot. He wasted everyone's time. The questions were fair. He is just so arrogant. He's going to be insufferable. He is going, those post-game press conferences and how LeBron and J.J. Redick are so much more intelligent than we are, and we're a bunch of dopes, and we can't even breathe the air that J.J. Redick breathes. The same air, like, ugh. Trash. Ugh. Insufferable. J.J. Redick coaching. Ugh. I hope they lose every game. Every game. You know what? Actually, I want them to be the 8th seed and then get swept out of the first round. And J.J. Redick, all the games are close, and he just throws up all over himself. I can't stand J.J. Redick. Can't stand him. But it looks like he's going to be the next coach of the Lakers because it's like the worst kept secret because everyone knew this was going to happen the longer and longer this goes on. And J.J. was a player for the Hornets job, and they already made their decision. So I think he got the wink-wink from LeBron when they were sipping some wine and being podcast snobs that J.J. was going to be the next coach of the Lakers. But according to Shams, the Lakers are zeroing in on J.J. Redick as the frontrunner for the franchise's next head coach, league and industry sources say. Okay, two things. Let me play you just one cut from Kyrie. We were talking about LeBron's love for Kyrie. This is Kyrie. He said the bad behavior last time. I talked about the bad behavior last time playing in Boston that he displayed.
You know, last time in Boston, I don't think that was the best and not this regular season, but when we played in the playoffs and everyone saw me flip off the birds and kind of lose my shit a little bit, that wasn't a great reflection of who I am and how I like to compete on a high level. You know, it wasn't a great reflection on my end towards the next generation on what it means to control your emotions in that type of environment, no matter what people are yelling at you.
I can't wait to see that scene on Thursday. Because Boston fans, deservedly so, hate Kyrie Irving. And they should hate Kyrie Irving for how he acted in Boston. But isn't that kind of Kyrie basically saying sorry? And okay, the last time, not for the ending, but the last time I was in Boston playing, I didn't handle things basically the right way. But that's not going to matter. It's weird because a lot of this I don't believe with Kyrie. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to fall. But that is a sign of maturity with what he just said. And I was not expecting Kyrie to at least say those things. Okay. Last thing we'll get to before the break, because there's a list, and we'll do this in the final segment of the show. The NFL's sexiest coach. I didn't even know that this was a list. And there's a top 10. And there's one name in the top 10 where I'm shocked this person's in the top 10. And the person who is last, I'm shocked this person is last. But we'll get to that coming up in a bit. CJ Stroud, we talked about him a lot today. He lists his top five quarterbacks in the league last year. He talked about how he'd rather have Eli Manning's career than Aaron Rodgers. You could still chime in on that poll question. You can find it at ZACHGELB, my Twitter at Zach Gelb, or on INF Sportsnet. I'm still stunned by these results. CJ Stroud said he'd rather have Eli Manning's career over Aaron Rodgers. 68.1% say Eli Manning, 31.9% say Aaron Rodgers. CJ Stroud also said that if Matthew Stafford got drafted by the Packers, he'd have more than one Super Bowl. Do we buy that? So let me, we have that audio. Let me play you that audio first. This is CJ Stroud in the $1 Million Worth of Game podcast. He loves Matthew Stafford.
Stafford, hey. Stafford another one, bro.
He
might be up there with Brady and them, bro.
No, come on.
No, bro. That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. Crazy. Let me go back. Hey, because though, because look, I'm a look, dog, hold on. Before you do all this, I'm a student of the game. Stafford, a dog.
He
bro.
Is a dog.
No, yeah, you Brady, understand, though. Bro. You saying that. That's all I watch. I don't watch nobody else. I watch Mahomes at times because Mahomes does some stuff that, like, you can't coach. Stafford, dog, he will beat you with the same thing every time. All that no-lick stuff, I got that from bruh. Like, literally, that's one of my big, like, I'm a fan of his. Like,
if he's a great quarterback.
I be trying to find, bro.
But
like,
it's
we got
the
same trainers.
Greatness.
I be trying to, like, that's go to where they're working out and just watch.
That's all I'm saying.
Elite, dog.
Like, Charles Barkley.
Hold on. If you give Matthew Stafford a chance like Aaron Rodgers, I guarantee he might have had more rings, for sure. I think Matthew Stafford.
Oh, Matthew Stafford had more rings than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he could have another ring probably.
I'd say he had like 3-4.
I love Matthew Stafford. I'm a fan of Matthew Stafford. If Matthew Stafford goes to Green Bay, I can't sit here and say that he has more than one ring. Is Matthew Stafford a better quarterback than Brett Favre? Nope. Brett Favre only won one ring in Green Bay. Is Matthew Stafford a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers? Nope. Aaron Rodgers only won one ring in Green Bay. Now, Matthew Stafford got out of Detroit, where he had Calvin Johnson, but the rest of the organization was dysfunctional. And he did go to L.A., and he won a Super Bowl. But I can't sit here and say that if Stafford started his career in Green Bay, that he would definitely have two rings by now. Multiple rings. I can't say that. One? Yes, I'll give you one. Multiple? I'm not ready to go there. Okay, let me ask Ack about this. C.J. Stroud.
Yes.
He said a lot of things, but I want your take on the Eli Manning career over Aaron Rodgers. Now, Aaron Rodgers won 4 MVPs and a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning only has 4 Pro Bowls, never won an MVP, but has 2 Super Bowls.
Yes.
Whose career would you rather have, Rodgers or Eli?
I think I would rather have the extra Super Bowl championship. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers isn't a better player.
Yeah.
But I think I'd like to have that extra Super Bowl championship because when you win two, it's a different stratosphere.
But here's the thing. Even with that being said, I think it's a fascinating conversation because I think most of us would usually take the rings.
Yeah.
In this case, I'm taking Rodgers because he has one.
Like, yeah,
I don't think anyone ever looks at Eli and says he's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. Rodgers, they do.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. But I think there is also the fact and now, you know, look with the way it's played out for him in recent years. But there is also the left you wanting more situation with Rodgers the last couple of years, whereas Eli had 2 very good playoff runs and not much else.
You know what? You're dead on because when Rodgers retires, people are going to say, hey, that's an all-time great. That's a top 10, 15 quarterback of all time. But how did he only win one Super Bowl?
Absolutely. We're saying that now.
Now, how do you think that ages through time? Because Dan Marino was one of the greatest quarterbacks
never won
a Super Bowl. And I feel like all these years later when we do these lists, still people put Dan Marino in the top 10. So the Rodgers it's in a now where people are like, oh, he should have got more than one. In 20 years from now, do you think people still think that way?
I don't know. You know, look at Elway, though. Elway won 2 Super Bowls.
At the end.
But both very late in his career. And especially for the second, actually, you could say both, he was not
the guy that drove the team. It was Terrell Davis.
Peyton Manning, right? His second Super Bowl.
Another one, yeah.
But he was carried by the Broncos.
But that second one, either way, puts you on a different plane, I think. So,
all right, let me ask you this.
Also, the way Eli did it, too, and again, this is not to take anything away from Aaron Rodgers, but the way Eli did it, too, has a little bit of an aura to it.
Sure. No, there's no doubt about it. Let me then, I threw this out to these guys. I'll use a baseball term. Two baseball players. Would you rather be Greg Maddux or Curt Schilling? Whose career would you rather have?
You know, Greg Maddux was much better. It's funny because it's almost the same type of situation.
That's why I asked you.
But Greg Maddux, I always thought was a much better and much more consistent.
Because Maddux to me is like Rodgers, yeah. Eli's like Schilling, good regular season person, but different stratosphere in the postseason.
But you also can't blame, like, football is one game. And the quarterback of this is the central figure. Now, look, there might not have been games where Maddux was dominant in the postseason on the mound, and they did blow a 2-0 lead. But I don't think you can pin the fact that the Braves only won once entirely on Maddux.
Now, here's the other one, too. I think it's a similar kind of realm of conversation. Randy Johnson or Madison Bumgarner?
I'd take
Johnson, right?
Johnson.
Yeah.
Look, Madison Bumgarner is great. And
three World
great.
Series.
Yeah, he was great in that big spot. There's no question, but his career did not play out. I mean, Randy Johnson's an all-time great, where Madison Bumgarner could have been.
Yeah.
That's a big
great, all-time
big
great postseason player.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just some of those names that I wanted to throw out there. All right, anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. Who's the sexiest coach in the NFL? How about that for a tee, Zach?
There you go. I know it's not me.
Well, you're not a coach in the NFL.
Exactly.
We did sexiest update anchors here at the network. You'd probably be too.
I don't know. Bogus is, giving me quite a run. Marco Belletti, strikingly handsome. So,
All righty, we'll come on back with that list. There's one surprising result in the top 10. Here is Ack.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Oh, my God. We're back again.
All righty. So they, I guess, face scanned every NFL coach. I don't know the technology behind this, but they have made a list, according to Free Bets, of the top 32 coaches in the NFL based off how sexy they are. This is from our buddy, the aggregator ML Football, who put this list out there. Who do you think is last, guys? Who do you think is, according to this list, the ugliest coach in the NFL?
Mike McCarthy.
Inaccurate. Not Mike McCarthy. We will get to Mike McCarthy in a second. Do you have one more guess? Santer, Carlos, one more guess. Who is the ugliest coach in the NFL?
Can we go with Doug Peterson?
It is not Dougie P. He's a good head of hair, we'll say Doug Peterson. Gray looks very good on him. Carlos, anyone else? One more guess.
Brian Daboll?
It's not Brian Daboll. It's Dan Campbell.
I don't think Dan Campbell's an ugly guy.
I'm sorry, it's invalid.
Yeah, no, immediately. I'm attracted to him immediately.
I would say he's a top 15 dude. I can't believe we're talking about this, but yeah, there's no way he should be near the bottom.
Dan Campbell's toe is like the size of Santer. It really is. Now, he's a large, Hulk-like man. I wouldn't say sometimes maybe because they're just going off the face, like he has that Bill Cowher kind of look to him a little bit, where there's like spit just flying out of his mouth all the time. But this list is Dan Campbell 32nd. Last. This one's surprising. You want to know who's not in the top 10? He's at 24th. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, this list is,
invalid.
I guess it's a computer program, so you're just basing it based off of your actual symmetry of your face. Mm. And there is something called the golden profile or something, where it's like they put the...
None of us have that.
Yeah.
No, we do not. Let's pump the brakes a little bit.
You know what? Feo. No bonita. Or bonita. Would it be bonito?
You can be bonita if you want to be.
So, anyway. Here is Robert Saleh. He was actually voted the sexiest coach in the, or recognized as the sexiest coach in the NFL. Here's Robert Saleh talking to the media about this.
You received quite the honor last week. I think it was the sexiest coach in the NFL. Thoughts on that?
No. you can ask my wife. No, I'm just kidding.
Should we end on that?
Did you hear from Kyle or Sean or anyone?
Matt?
Matt was bitter. No, but anyway.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur should be bitter. He's not a bad-looking dude. He's ranked 24th. So you want me to give you the top 10 here? Antonio Pearson at number 10. Mike Tomlin in at 9. Dave Canales in at 8. Surprised Dave Canales not a little higher up on this list. Kevin Stefanski in at 7th. Can you guys do me a favor here? Can I get a 3-shot? I want to just see Carlos's reaction here when I say who the 6th coach is, and then also the 5th coach. So let me just get that 3-shot on the YouTube stream. Ready, Carlos? The 6th sexiest coach in the NFL. Mike McCarthy.
No way! Get out of here! That makes zero sense!
Big guys can be sexy.
No, it has nothing to do with size. He looks like the Blob from X-Men.
That's not nice. You want to know who the 5th coach is?
No, this list sucks.
Andy Reid. Carlos just left. He walked up and left the studio. Samter, you got to run the board. He'll be back. Don't worry. Number 4, Mike McDaniel. 3, Sean McVay. 2, Kyle Shanahan. 1, Robert Saleh.
Mike McDaniel's a funny dude. Handsome. I don't know if that's the way I go.
He looks like
either.
Stu. You saying Stu's an ugly guy? I don't think Stu's an ugly guy. I think Stu's sexy.
He's not top 4 in the NFL handsome.
Mike McDaniel looked like he installed antivirus software on my laptop. Who made this list?
Face scans by Freebets.
Maybe they should pay next time. Pay bets.
The only reason I brought it up, and it's a fun segment, fun way to end the show, you know, for 5 minutes that we had left in the segment, is that Mike McCarthy's in at 6. Like, when Sean and RJ in Dallas have Mike McCarthy on next, don't they have to ask him about this? They do a weekly in football season with McCarthy. Now, I know it's only June, so we got some time until that spot probably starts up, but we got to talk to Sean and RJ about Mike McCarthy being voted the 6th sexiest coach in the NFL.
Oh, geez. Does that make Jerry Jones the 6th sexiest owner?
You know what? Jerry Jones probably has enough work done where he can make himself look like the 6th sexiest owner in the NFL.
All in.
It's probably easier to do a list of which NFL owners haven't got work done than list the ones that have got work done. Anyway, that's how we conclude the show today. Big thanks to Robert Horry for stopping by. Big thanks to Jack Michaels as we tried to get down to the bottom of who the heck that Oilers fan was. Open invitation. We are on in Canada. If anyone knows who the Oilers fan was, we'd love to get her on the show.
Do you think that she was aware that somebody was taping it and posting it?
I don't know.
She might not want her name out there.
I think she realized it. Like, she looked around and then she saw a camera and then she put her shirt down. But if you're flashing the crowd, A, she was confident with what she was working with.
As she should have been.
100%. But you got to know that that's going to get on camera. You know, if you think you're just going to flash someone and that's at a sporting event and that's not going to get on camera.
No, listen, 95% of the people who were there weren't even paying any attention.
If she wants to reveal her identity and her name, I will gladly take her to the Oilers game. I will pay for 2 tickets. We'll sit on the glass. 1,000%. So that's my offer to her. Anyway, have a good night, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tired of sifting through countless supplements? Unsure of what's actually effective? Introducing Legion, the choice of over 800,000 discerning fitness enthusiasts. With all-natural products, clinically effective ingredients, doses, and hassle-free money-back guarantee, you can achieve your fitness goals without the unnecessary guesswork. Say goodbye to wasted efforts and hello to results with Legion. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, or get healthy, but the right ones can help. Visit LegionAthletics.com. Go to LegionAthletics.com to get 20% off your order now.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.